This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Have a good night.
We'll be back straight after this.
Language you don't usually hear on television. Millwall in London's Docklands. Life counts to 10. All in Millwall, ain't no free football. We'll all stand strong behind our team. No one likes us, but we don't care. We're that Millwall for podcast. Loud as the Friday night right here. Legends like Jimmy and Abdul, Teddy Sheringham, and Kitchen and Two. Super Neil Harris, a fucking legend too. Through the good times and the strife, we'll support the Lions all our life. This ain't those place for fancy teams. This is fucking Millwall through and through. Located on our very own John Bennington Way. Let them all come, let them have their say. Millwall to we die, that's the Lions way.
Before you start,
Alex's comment to start the hour, we've swapped brains and beauty dot 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 for Mickey. Alex, that's you getting banned in about 30 seconds, but I'm now going to give hosting over to Mickey. You've been asked for, the crowd and the fans have been asking for you, mate. So
They've got their wish.
Our leader has returned. And also, just before I say that, I wasn't hinting at anything about Chris. I was trying to tee him up for a season finale chat with Chaps. And now everyone thinks he's like, I don't know.
He's dying.
See, look. He's got three months to live. Me and Jonathan Fraser thought you boys were doing something else. Look, you see?
It's supposed to be a celebration, wasn't it, Stephen?
There we go. Look at that. Where is it? No, not that one. It's that one.
Chris, Dan on Lions TV is going to get. Oh dear! No, I, as I say, for the guys in the chat, and I know Chris appreciates it. What he does is very, very difficult. You know, especially when we've been on a bit of a losing run. So, I was trying to tee him up nicely, but of course it was taken the wrong way, and now it's still falling apart. But anyway, Mickey, how are you?
Shall I do the intro again? Do you know what I mean? And I had it all geared up and now it's gone. It's just ruined. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I've been in the studio for the last week making a song and you just fucking destroyed it.
Did you really sing that song? Were you winding
up? Yeah, of course I fucking did. No.
You did?
Of course I sang it.
I thought you might have used some kind of special. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Do you believe that, Stephen?
Nah, I'm not having that. No way.
I just can't imagine you in a recording studio, in a booth, singing.
Not necessarily in a recording studio, but it's been done.
Really? Oh, fair play. Well done.
That's good. No.
So, guys in the chat, I was going to say, if you think that...
No way. You had me for a split second.
It's my lyrics.
Mickey's X Factor.
They're my lyrics.
Yeah.
But it's AI. But they are my lyrics.
So you're a songwriter now. You're the songwriter.
Yeah.
See, and you just paid paid AI to do it for you.
Super Neil Harris, a fucking legend.
I like that. I like the lyrics. That's a nice line, that is.
And do you know the madness is when it played slightly, it looked slightly out. But when me and another guy who made the video, we were like playing around with stuff earlier, and I put it together, and literally there was no edit to that. I just literally went, oh, because of that beginning part of the video where the panorama bit says about Millwall. So I moved it slightly to the end, dropped it, just downloaded it, sent it to him, and we both watched it. And literally the bit where he turns around and says, legends like Jimmy Abdu, literally.
I thought, yeah, Abdu, and he comes up.
Cahill, when he was on, and it was like, we couldn't have edited that better. It will be there, but yeah, there'll be different. There'll be a few different songs for different music, for different things, but that is the new intro. That is the final one for next year. We've got a couple of other videos as well, but that is...
Was that a Friday night one, that one, Mickey? Music.
That's a Friday night song.
Okay, I love that.
Yep. Yeah. On a Sunday night, we just have one with loads of goals going in the net, or we're just shit at home. Oh, no, we can't say that no more because we've been great at home and we've had a great end to the season. And if we'd have had Neil Harris for the whole of the season, we could be now battling between Leicester and Ipswich. I forgot that Leeds fucked it up.
Exactly. Which is great. I'm sure they'll probably still go up, wouldn't they? They'll probably win the playoffs, wouldn't they? I'm sure.
Do you know, you say that, and we're coming away from Millwall a little bit here, but Norwich are the full team in the playoffs. Norwich are the form team in the playoffs. West Brom have been awful. Southampton have been ropey, and Leeds have thrown it away. So I wouldn't want to be a Leeds fan at the moment.
Is someone watching back on YouTube here?
Watching back on YouTube. I've got the comments open on my. On my device.
I don't know. It's gone now. Anyway. I don't know what's happened. Literally everyone's just gone silent. So I'm just going to carry on. Joe, thoughts on Ryan Leonard? We've all had a lot to say about him. He picked up all the awards at the end of season awards with that you were obviously the other day. Someone really that Harris said he was the best right back in the championship over the last 12 games. I would argue that maybe even beforehand.
Sorry, I was laughing at Dan's comment there. Fucking hell. Yeah, you know what's really interesting as well? For the first time, I've heard Lenny identify himself as a defender. Everyone keeps talking about, you know, Leonard, the midfielder should play in his position or rest of it. But I think finally, I think it was Mark, what's his face, who was interviewing him. And he said, I'm not the utility player anymore. I'm a defender. And I think he's kind of almost found his position, whether it be a centre back or right back, but that's where he wants to play. That's where he feels comfortable. And let's be honest, yeah, he's won player of the year from the sport, is one that the Junior Lions Player of the Year as well. And it's not often that it's true that Junior Lions will actually vote for a defender. They're quite like all the strikers all the time, don't they? So, I think for him, it's kind of made him reaffirm his position. He knows that's what he's best at, and that's his position. And I personally think he's the best right back in the championship. I don't know what you guys think, but for me, it's just been an absolute, you know, monster there. It's been absolutely unbelievable this season.
It's been superb, but just one quick one before we go in. If you're listening to this and you've just switched this podcast on as a podcast, not on YouTube, but as a podcast, then you've just missed an hour when Chaps was on. So go back and find part one, because this is part two and you've got me. But part one is there. But I thought I'd tell you it now that you're 7 minutes in, just in case you're thinking, that started weird. So go back to part one on the pod. If you're on YouTube, then you've come late. Get back to the beginning. You've missed Chaps. Do you know what I mean? But still add all the comments though, because it's highly funny. So Leonard is dependable. He's always has been, always will be. You know, like what Alex says, you know, Lenny's tackle and Whitaker, that's not the first tackle he's done like that.
Unbelievable.
And it won't be the last. But it is weird because a couple of things, really. How the fuck did no one on these shows come up with that song for Tandanga? I think it was muted about various. Do you know what, Joe? It was muted around various football chats about charity games, and neither one of you two took it over onto the show. So that's disappointing. But I just can't believe that our away fans didn't. Alex S. No, he wasn't. It was a Luton's one instead, I think. Relegation party. But no, he weren't. But I can't believe that no one thought of it, that it was the players who potentially thought of it before us.
Great song and very, very catchy. But apparently, I think he said on his interview, I listened to it today, was it's after the Birmingham game, the players in the change room had the song on, and then I don't know who it was, they all started singing it and put his name in the actual chorus.
I heard that earlier as well.
And he said, when they asked him, how do you feel about it? They sing it at Swansea tomorrow, and he sort of said that he'll love to hear it, like if the Mill fans will see it. So I'll love the Mill fans to...
They will. 100% they will. 100% they will.
Whoever's there tomorrow, namely our partner in crime, when they sing it, video it and send us a clip on Sunday. So, let's see if we can beat Millwall to the punch and get it out before them. Right, a couple of points you raised, just to show that I wasn't listening to the first half. and it's amazing what you can do with AI now. I agree with you with Nisbet or Nesbitt, whichever way you want to do him. He's a player. He was a player in Scotland to a degree when he was playing off that part of a two where he was just sort of off the other one. And he can play on the floor. He can play with the ball. So I think if Harris takes that on and gives him a bit of development and gives some confidence, he was showing great pre-season last season.
Well, you went to that game, didn't you, Mickey? Do you remember, Mick?
When you were chatting up Alex Mitchell's dad.
Alex Mitchell's dad, bless him. He was lovely, wasn't he, Alex Mitchell's dad? But in that game, I know the opposition was only Sutton, Mickey, but how good was Nisbet? As in, technically, finishing and, another level. So good. It's a shame that his season didn't continue from that point, you know, but...
I just imagine, Joe, in your phone, you've got, like, Alex Mitchell's dad in your... Casper De Noor's dad, and you've just got a long list of contacts down your phone of the Millwall squad and just dad at the end of it.
Yeah, all these dilfs in my phone book.
You see, in mine, I've got ex-Millwall and then like all the players ranging from like Nicky Chatterton, Brian King and all the old ones and new ones. He's got is Millwall players' dads.
Dads.
And then obviously maybe their number.
Mickey,
maybe they know that's what he's got. He's got so-and-so's dad, 33. Do you know what I mean?
Even Savile on the table said to me, "Oh yeah, I know you know Casper's dad, don't you?" And he's like, "Saving all you want to do is nosh him off like his dad." I was thinking, for fuck's sake, how do you know about this? You know,
telling you the players
know.
But the players watch this, Joe. They hear you talk passionately about your relationship with Casper Dinor's dad. Well, word spreads like wildfire, mate.
Well, I asked Sam whether he's lying or not. He reckons he doesn't listen to podcasts. Allegedly, that's what he says. But it could be.
It might not be him. It might not be him. But there'll be players that do. They will.
I'm sure. I'll tell you what.
There was. I'm not going to mention the team, but they are at Wembley very shortly. But after watching our show last week, where I put that cup up, a certain person who makes our merchandise and stuff for us got a phone call from the person who owns that club, wanting to buy an awful lot of those cups. Not obviously with our podcast on, but wanting an awful lot of those cups.
Really?
So it just shows we are watched by everybody. And in fact, I think if you were to look on some of the stat showing shows, and really I should have teared this up just for it, but we might just be the number one Millwall show on YouTube.
Wow.
This month.
Wow.
Maybe.
Very good. Maybe.
There we go.
Good stuff.
Yeah. That's players all thanks watches, to the because some of the other players do. That's all thanks to you, Joe. But the listeners, and the listeners as well. But it's you just leaving it on constant on your 13 TVs in your office. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, it's all the dilfs. It's all the dilfs that are helping me promote the show. See, there's a method for madness. The dilfs.
Dilfs.
The dads okay. I like to fuck.
Oh, okay.
I don't really, but yeah.
Okay, fucking. Fuck.
Cut that bit out, Stephen.
I've only been on here for 13 minutes, and do you know what I mean? And I nearly deleted all the videos earlier. I did delete it. I honestly did delete the one video what I really want right now, and it's not there.
Can I just say,
this is gone. Not this there. Was, it's gone at last.
It's gone.
This was all running. This was all running smoothly in the first hour. I'm just putting it out there. Mickey's come in and it's gone to havoc. It's gone chaos.
Yeah,
I've just let you listen. I've let you have the proper chat. Now we can talk the bollocks. So you know, exactly. It is what it is.
Now, Alan's gone.
Alan Campbell, thank you very much for your service. You weren't good enough for Luton in the Premiership. You weren't good enough for Millwall in the Championship. So, there, you know.
They rolled him out, didn't they, though?
Probably going down.
They rolled Alan Campbell out for World Book Day, though, didn't they? It's part of the Lions Community Trust. They got him involved in that, didn't they? They got their money's worth with that, didn't they? That was his appearance for the...
But a bit of good news is that, according to a Burnley fan who I speak to, he reckons realistically that Burnley probably won't want Obafemi next season.
Really?
Because they're going to be going for a push. Unless he's come, he said, you know, and obviously he's not heard loads about him since he's been with us, but he said, you know, unless they've come on leaps and bounds, they're probably looking to get him out or
loan again maybe or
yeah you can fucking wish bitch
it's interesting you say that
bigger than because me anyway. Bigger than me. Yeah.
he mentioned with Femi that he's due to have conversations with a company next week, I think he said he was. But he didn't, although he didn't say anything negative, he did strike me as almost like he wasn't like overly optimistic about what's going to happen next season.
Did you know this is live, Joe? Yeah.
No, exactly. But he just didn't seem like he was kind of open like to what's happening next season. It wasn't like, yes, I'm going back to Burnley and blah, blah, blah. You know, so I mean, how much did they sign for? Is that 3 million, Burnley?
I think so. I read somewhere it's over 3 million.
So could they take a slight hit on that because they've got all the parachute payments as well? Mm. Let's say we offer them 2 million for him. They might take it if company doesn't see him as someone who's going to start for him.
I said to him, I take it you're probably going to be coming back in for Fleming. And he went, possibly not. So
really?
You're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
The thing is,
I suppose realistically, you've got to look at Burnley. Burnley's not coming down to play the Championship. Burnley's coming down to get straight back up.
Absolutely.
So they're going to need to make sure that they've got players what will get them up. And the question is, have you got, when you're, it's not like us wanting to stay in the Championship. You're talking about a team what, if they don't go up this season or next, then they lose those parachute payments and they won't have the money to be able to really invest. And right now they're coming down with what, 105, I think it's 70 or 105 million. So they can you know, get some decent players or so. But the question is, would you take a gamble on Zian if you're in that position, or if you were a club which just wanted to stay in the Championship, then I can understand taking a gamble on Zian. But I just don't know if they could take that gamble. Now, when they were in the Prem, they probably could.
The only thing I would say to that, though, is that is Ian Fleming now a gamble with his price set to be a lot cheaper than what it would have been last summer?
True.
I know.
And one
I
year
know,
left in his contract as well.
That's what I mean. So the lure of getting him would be easier, that the fee would be cheaper.
Plus, Stephen, he's played with Obafemi for last how many games or weeks now? So have they struck up a relationship? Is Burnley thinking next season we're going to go with Fleming and Obafemi as our strike partnership?
Is that the plan? Was that the plan last season? Yeah. Let's get Obafemi Maybe. Into Millwall.
Good point.
Work with Zian, see if they work out. And if they exactly. do, then we've got to join. But I mean,
very good point. Very good point.
Obafemi is nowhere near as prolific to be an automatic promotion striker. Exactly what my pal, as a Burnley fan, said that, exactly the same. So, yeah.
That is true. But again, you know, Burnley, it depends really is what how they go about it. You know, their squad, let's face it, that Burnley squad isn't as good as what Leicester's was coming down. Leicester's squad this year was absolutely ridiculous. So they are going to have to find some kind of reinforcements. Yeah, they're going to have some good players, don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I think if Obafemi's not prolific enough for Burnley, that's absolutely fine. That may well be the case. But I certainly think that there's more goals in him than what we've seen. And it just needs a manager like what Harris has done, put his arm around him and give him that little bit of loving sort of thing to get the best out of him. So I think he'll score goals in the Championship. It just depends whether it's at Burnley, whether it's with us or someone else.
Yeah. And also, he needs to have a good summer. He needs to be injury free. He's a good pre-season. He could have a great season next season for Burnley. And who knows? Burnley might even get rid of a couple of their high wage players and see Obafemi and maybe Fleming as good adjustments for the Championship and good enough
Too
to
risky.
Take him
I
up.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, John's there. Some statement of intent if we signed Tanganga and
Can you imagine
Obafemi and kept Ian. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Chris Lacey, Richard Lacey's come up with, you ever been to Burnley in daylight, Flem? I went to Burnley. I worked with a fella who was...
James Hargreaves.
Stan Tennant's. No, I worked with Stan Tennant's boy, yeah, Dan. Mm. And unfortunately, his brother died. We went up there as a bit of solidarity and went to his funeral. And there was like loads of football past and present there. It was sort of a bit unreal. But the thing that I noticed with Burnley, the fucking lorries are bigger than the houses. And they're all made out of blocks, not bricks. You know, they're all made out of big fucking York stone things. And everything looks like tiny. You know, the big lorries, what we get round here, what's still like nearly as big as your house. But up there, the houses look like, you know, like on a model railway.
And smaller roads as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people talk funny. You can't understand Northerners. I mean, anywhere north of Watford Gap. And that's
it's north. Yeah, me too.
And Watford Gap's about, 80 or 90 mile away from London? So that's how close the north is, I think. So, yeah. Could we afford Obafemi's wages? I don't know, mate. Or Tandangas. I don't know. I think what you've got to look at with them is I think it will be more about what they want to do. I think potentially a sacrifice of them for a year or two playing football constantly for every game will potentially fuel them going forward. I agree with Connor. I think out of both of them, I think Tandanga should be the priority. Speaking to people who were at the training ground the other day, said, you know, Obafemi says, you know, it looked gutted, he was off. And again, you know, the other Loney was off, but Tandanga was sort of undecided, as in, you know, he don't know what lays ahead as such, you know. But there's a lot of rumours about both of them, and we know what this shows like of getting picked up by rival fans going, they said it's happening, and we never did.
To your point, Tanganga's 25 years old, Obafemi's 23, so they're still relatively young. For a defender, 25 is quite young. So I agree with you. What's going to stop them doing a year or 2 years at Millwall and then get the next move to the Premiership again, or hopefully go up with us if we do go up? So you never know. They're both, you know, both confirmed that they love their time at Millwall. So we all hope, aren't we?
No,
you
know?
I think
now,
Cars, it would be a...
Cars, sorry, go on.
So I was going to say, there's a comment that's come through that was going to kind of... not that one. It's a different one. I think signing players like Tanganga and Obafemi might be dependent on who goes out the door, rather than necessarily, you know, just buying them off the cuff, but just, you know, having the funds available. That's where the talk of Fleming. There's a comment there. Would you lose SA to sign Obafemi? Things like that. I'm not suggesting that would be a move that I'd be interested in, or Casper, or anybody that might be worth something to somebody, but I do think that if you are going to lose a player to get maximum value, to be able to then perhaps be in the conversation with Tanganga, because let's face it, other clubs will be out to outbid us. We all know that. Everybody knows that. But it's the, would he, you know, he's from London, he's playing in London. Would he want to relocate? Those, you could play on those kind of things. So there's a lot that's going to go into it. You know, Ben from the, obviously, you know, our Northern correspondent was pretty damning when he said earlier, we're not going to get either of them, so we might as well move on. And that may well be the case, but we're at a point now where we have to be looking at buying players, not loaning them.
I'll put it in the
you've just got to try and speculate to accumulate. I'm not saying go nuts and put yourself in danger of financial fair play, but take a calculated risk, because if Tanganga stays fit for a season and is as good as he was last, how much money would he be worth? He's English, he's young.
100%.
It's a no-brainer.
I don't agree.
Burnley was selling. I don't think Burnley, because I think it will be ridiculous for them to sell him at the moment, especially if they get a push into the Premier.
Who, Obafemi?
Because obviously, because he counts towards fair play, doesn't he? So because he's English, homegrown and such, it'll class as BNC went and Obafemi looked gay, but Tanganga allegedly was, you know, sort of undecided. There was nothing said, like the others said, no, that's it, I'm going back to my club. Tanganga was sort of a little bit more questionable with such summer, but whether or not we do. Get JT.
I would love to sign them.
That's a good call, though. Sell SA and get JT and Cresswell.
I think there's more chance.
We'll get that.
I think there's more chance of keeping SA, selling Fleming.
Fleming?
Obviously, 1 year left on his contract. And I can see SA potentially next season stepping into Fleming's boots in that number 10 role. That's where he sees himself. SA wants to play in the 10, but he can't play the 10.
Did you see Zian's Instagram the other day? There was a message on, again, the Fortuna rep sent it, the Fortuna guy sent it to me. But SA's pal was at Millwall for our home game, and he posted a picture of the pitch, like, of a player, and Fleming liked it, and what's his name was saying that he's out of contract at the end of the month. I'll see if I've got it.
Oh, it's Fleming's mate who played the Dutch boy. The Dutch,
It's the one who's on here.
Yeah,
it's the one that we put. Where is it? It's there. I think it's Cars, isn't it? I think it's that player, but yeah.
Him?
Yeah, the car.
What I would say though is this summer we've already been linked with Jamal Lowe for the 40 millionth time, which is just ridiculous. It's not going to happen. Give it up. No. Kiefer Moore's another one. There's a couple of comments about Kiefer Moore. He turned us down. He doesn't want to play for Millwall, so move on and sign someone else. What I would say is we are going to have, there's going to be so many rumours. There's going to be so many speculations. We might just have to wait and see what happens with, as I say, the contract situations with Fleming, with SA, things like that. But try not to get your hopes pinned on certain players. Like, we've been stuck on Charlie Cresswell now for a year and a half. It's probably not going to happen. He's got a long contract at Leeds. If Leeds don't go up, are they going to sell him to us? Probably not. They'd have to go up for him for him to be sold.
Do you really think? So, do you think Leeds are going up? Leeds aren't going up.
I don't think they are, but that's what I'm saying. Why would they? Why would they? If they don't go up, they didn't really want to sell him to us this year. I don't think. Maybe we didn't go in with a high enough offer. Why would they do it if we're in the same league again next year?
That's just no, that's it. But I think it was. I think it's Joe Loves Football or something was the thing. You've still got another camera open, by the way, Stephen. Did you know that? Yeah. I felt that Leeds show we watched last Friday or whatever it was, or was it last Friday when they were playing, mate, and we all went on the channel and abused him.
yeah,
was great. But there was a great piece of what someone said on there. What said, don't know if Leeds will be able to get into the right frame of mind where most of the season they believed that they were automatically promoted, and now to suddenly go from being automatically promoted to now having to go for the playoffs and realise that you've got another month of football. Does that affect the mentality, which I probably believe it does, and also the fact that, well, it couldn't happen to a fucking better team, really, could it?
I wonder if they've got Rondon, haven't they, from Spurs, who's keeping Cresswell out of the team at the moment. He's only on loan.
And Ampadu as well. Ampadu's the other one.
But where Rondon plays that right side of the back four in the centre, he's keeping Cresswell out of that position. Now, Rondon's great. He was actually voted in the player of the year for the championship, winning the season. Now,
picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Will he go back before the playoffs start, or will they be able to extend his loan till the playoffs? If they go up, they've got a good chance of signing him on a perm. And of course, Cresswell might be able to go. If they don't go up, Rondon goes back to Spurs. I'm sure Rondon will get back into the Spurs team or break through to the first squad he can, which then opens doors to Cresswell to be a first team player next season. So we really desperately want Leeds to go up to stand any chance of signing Cresswell, don't we?
No, you don't want Leeds. Listen, the problem is with Cresswell is that, like what loads of people are putting there, him and Fark don't get on. And yeah, also no, the fact don't. That I think it's Fark. It's not so much that Cresswell don't get on. I think that Cresswell's agent is his dad. And his dad basically sees the fact that him not playing is ruining his chance of getting into England. So I think that possibly his agent's got the fucking hell, Joe's on fucking Pornhub, isn't he? Fucking hell. So yeah, that's where I would probably sit.
I agree. I think whilst Cresswell's dad has obviously got his best interest at heart and he obviously wants his boy to play, by posting what he did and saying making some of the comments that he has, I think Fark has gone, well, he's a Leeds player, he's contracted to us now, and now, you know, a bit of spite, I'm not gonna pick him. I don't agree with that, but that's what goes on. You know, we've heard it in our own club that players have fallen out with the managers and things have happened. So, yeah. I think with Cresswell, you know, personally, if we've got a chance to sign him realistically, then yes, of course, we would look at it. But I would rather that be, we do it or he goes elsewhere and it's done. We can't just keep looking at the same players. You've got to identify someone, them, get them in the door.
Yeah, but also you've got to look at it now. He ain't played for a year or two.
Yeah.
So, you know, is he really as good as what he was when he was here? And that's with a lot. We always seems to be as supporters as rose-tinted. Oh, this player's great. Oh, that player's great. Look, it's shit. we're going to get. We're probably going to get someone like Jamel Lowe or fucking Kiefer Moore. You know what I mean? That's the sort of, you know, players we'll probably end up getting without
long term targets. I mean, Hutch, this is no confirmation, but Hutch mentioned the other night that he can't see it happening. Cresswell, allegedly, he can't see it happening, like Cresswell coming. But like I said, it's not confirmation, but he seemed pretty, you know.
I tell you what, there's a comment from Alex here, and I didn't think of this, and it's only, this is a really good point. I'll put it up on the screen. If Rondon goes back to Spurs, does that push Tango further down the pecking order and good improve point, our chances Alex. Of signing him?
Really That's a good really, point, Alex.
Yeah, it is, because let's face it, you know, Tanganga's had good, you know, he's received a lot of plaudits, but Rondon, you know, as you say, he's been in Championship quality. Team of the season, he's been quality. Spurs would look at that.
He's a Welsh international.
That's another one. That could come into it. That could make Tanganga maybe a little bit more readily available.
Really good point. Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Can we just one sec. Daily Millwall. The regen isn't over yet. The regen's nowhere near over yet. I mean, they sign off in the agreement next week or the first part, but then there's terms to be agreed and there's probably about another 6 to 8 months worth of paperwork and signing to go on. And then from there, we've got to go through having planning drawn up, having planning consents, having every expert in the world coming down looking for newts and spiders and fucking everything else, and then plans to be submitted to Lewisham, and then they basically approve them and then go. I don't honestly believe that we'll probably build anything within the next 10 years because planning will take 3 to 5 years to get all the way through. So, yeah, and if you think the ground's going to be getting up, no.
On that,
I honestly, Daily Mill, I don't know if it'll be done before I die, mate. Yeah.
we've been trying to get the training ground through. That's been going on for a while now. Yeah. So what chances have we got to get in the ground built? It's not
for me. Training ground is a priority over the ground.
Yes, 100%.
I think what will happen with the training ground? Yeah, it'll be scaled back. I think what will happen with the training ground is they'll scale it back, build it so that there's options to be able to add on to it, so sort of modular build it to a degree so that they can add on to it and then build it slightly smaller than the original plan, get it built and then keep going. But again, you know, I was speaking to the other guy, Paul Turner, who I'd done AMS with, and this week obviously when the news that it's pretty much they're going to get the lease. And then that's the first step of a few little more hurdles. And then it's pretty much on a final run as such. And what we did was achieved a miracle. But, you know, when we first started AMS, and that was 10 years ago this February that we started AMS, look at it and you just go, fuck me, 10 years of my life. But originally, when we started AMS, it was designed really, AMS was coming after the MSC. So we were originally looking to basically... it was going to be a new fan group. It was just going to be something to take on the MSC and basically represent fans at all levels. And it just so happened that the regen started as such like a year or so in, and we just felt that was our native path. And, well, the rest is history. And it just become a beast, and it just fucking destroyed people like Steve Norris, allegedly, and Lewisham Council and all the people there and all that lot. So, but I think they've extended their lease at Cowmont Road as well for another 5 years. So,
with the regen and the training ground moving to Kent, what's the ruling on signing players for academy? Is it an hour's from the ground or an hour from the training ground? Because there's a rule there where you can't live more than 1 hour. Now that means we're then going to lose all the talent. We'll then lose all the talent going forward in South London, won't we?
No. Because the community centre is tied in with the Premier League. So they have Premier kits and other stuff. I would say there, and I would probably say that because the academy is at Bexley Heath.
Yeah.
It's a Black Fen or whatever, it's a rugby club, isn't it? And also the Lionesses, and they do some academy stuff. I think the whatever the name of the park is where the Lioness is down Surrey Quays. I reckon there's ways around it. They wouldn't be stupid to just suddenly move out. And
that's what I'm saying. You're gonna lose.
I mean, Chelsea and all that lot do it. No, they're not.
Because also, like,
they're still gonna gain it.
Is that because even like Brighton, for example, they only get half of the perimeter because they're on the south coast. Obviously, they can't go south. Mm. They can only go north. But luckily, like my mate's son plays for Brighton under 15s, I think it is. Good talented player. And he lives in Surrey, which is quite far. You look at it in the map, it's miles away. But because there's a good link down the M23, or A23 to Brighton, it makes it within the hour.
Yeah, but also you've got to think that the benefit with Millwall starting the training ground is that they now can start making friends with Kent schools. Because my
That's
boy
what I'm saying.
Goes to Kent. I live in Kent. My boy goes there. And they run soccer schools and stuff like that. So, yeah.
But can we then attract players in Kent? Because at the moment, there's not a football club that's going to be able to take players from Kent. So we will get the whole Kent region.
Charlton. No, there's Charlton. Well, Charlton.
That's true.
Charlton and Gillingham have got most of the riding there. But now the fact that we're going into it and we're in Sevenoaks, where there isn't actually a club associated with Sevenoaks or whatever with those postcodes, then, yeah, because
also,
most of our fan base live
we'll
in
be
a
more
DA and ME postcode.
We should be more attractive, to any youngsters in that area, because they're going to pick between us, Charlton and Gillingham, especially with a brand new training centre as well. How good is that going to be?
Yeah, but don't forget, Man United's got a London, Man City's got a London, Chelsea's got, you know, South East London. But all the Premiership teams
work,
are pretty
though?
Much they're, got satellite because they run a satellite.
Manchester.
They do something with a. But they have a.
But I
there
is, I heard
when we've done the scout show, you'll see.
But Mickey, I heard they actually buy residents. So, for example, a mate of mine, his dad was doing scouting for Man City for the last 2 years. And Man City wanted to target kids. No, he was. A mate of mine. They wanted to target South London.
But Man City wanted to target South London allegedly.
Allegedly.
What you're going to say next.
Yeah. Allegedly. Exactly. But then what happens then, allegedly, is that they actually buy a flat or a house for the kid's family in Manchester, just so that kid could then live within an hour radius of the training or club, whatever, to sign that player. So that might cost them a few hundred thousand pounds, but I guess that's nothing if that kid then goes to become, you know, a really, really great player. But clubs are actually doing that, actually buying houses and moving the
allegedly,
whole fucking family, allegedly. Yeah,
it's in breach of rules. It's in breach of rules, and possibly that might not have happened with a player what went north of the border. But that's
extreme.
Yeah.
They will go. They allegedly can go to. It's incredible,
Tony,
isn't it?
Does that mean we get the pick of the talent from the boats arriving in Dover? Yeah, possibly. But no, the football.
Yeah.
The football is always, what do you call it, mate? Do you know that? So, yeah, I mean, it's all one of those. So, yeah, I am hopefully in a couple of weeks, I will end up doing a show on the region and talk through the timeline and just rehash some of it. Because there's a few people that spoke to me the other day, younger listeners or younger, like mid-20s and so, who were like, what the fuck is it all with the region? What's that all about? And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, Christ, we knew the ins and outs of that. I mean, to be fair, it started way before, you know, it started 94, probably earlier than 94, to be fair. In fact, it went back to before we moved into the new den. So, it's been going on for a long time. And I think it will still go on for a fucking long time. So, we'll get there. What was the other thing I wanted to ask or wanted to say? Daily Mill. It was. The other thing was Nesbitt, I think, would do good. What else were you talking about? I can't remember now. Fuck me.
What else were we talking about, Stephen?
Hutchinson, Sav, Hutch. Bart.
SA got player of the season awards. 2 years on the trot.
Young player.
On the trot, didn't he?
Yeah.
Do you think he deserved
player,
it?
2 years on the trot.
Do you think he deserved Young Player of the Year this season? I don't think so. I love it.
But realistically, though, who else?
Yeah. Well, what's the rule now? You've got to be under 21, so you're not under. You used to be under 23, but that's under 21. If it was under 23, I would have picked Longman or Longman or Abifemi.
Well, but... personally, I would have gone with Brook Norton Cuffey. If you can have a lone player, Brook Norton Cuffey had a very good season. But realistically, if it can't be a loan and it's just within a certain age range, the only two players it can be is SA and Amaku. And Maku's not been in the squad. But Mayer's played, 10 minutes?
Technically, he could still...
Yeah. No, he could. Yeah, he could. But it would be SA or Amaku. Amaku's been injured for a while. I think there's also, as Mickey, I think, was going to allude to, that there's club sniffing and there's politics at play with Romain Essé, I think, winning the end of season young player and all that. But allegedly.
2 years later. Fuck me, we're using that word a lot. Today's chosen word is allegedly.
All the algorithms on YouTube are thinking, what the fuck's going on?
We're like, Neil Harris's buzzword is galvanise the football club, and ours is allegedly.
And we're galvanised the podcast.
It's the word it's the word I've got to use more often. Yeah. Allegedly, I keep forgetting that.
No, that's it. Baz Lee asks, will the regen mean we might get some big investment into the club? When they do the development, there will be people who specialise in that level, I suppose. There'll be a building partner to keep the cost down and stuff. But will it invest into the club? I don't know. Towards the end of it, maybe, because it will obviously make it rich. But I hope the regen gets done really soon. And some of the money, what John Berylson and obviously his family and that was put in, hopefully they get some of their initial investment, because he's put best part of over £100 million into the club. They get a lump, they get a fair lump back. And also all the buildings and stuff what they're building will end up getting rent and everything else. And then that will just end up coming into the club and help us move forward. So, that's where I see the benefit, is that, if we can increase the training ground and actually start developing the younger players, what we can then end up being sold and stuff, and obviously having property and that going back into the club, then, it's great. Alex Riggs says, Alex Mitchell to be sold, seeing this today. Dan Riggs, tell us where you've seen it. Because he's saying it's Richard Cowley, that Richard Cowley says might be sold or something.
They're on this, I think it was on the South London podcast, there's a hint that he might be sold. There was also a whisper going around that at the end of season awards, I know, Joe, you were there, I don't know if you heard this, there was a rumour that going around that someone asked someone a question about Mitchell, and there was talk that he was going to be sold, but not for the reasons that you might think. It's more that I think he's quite happy at Lincoln, and I think he would be happy to go there after the season. So I think not necessarily because Mill want him out the door or they don't want him. I think it'd be his decision to go, I'm going to leave the football club and make my way elsewhere, which if that's the case, you've got to be pushing for as much money as you can for a player like that, because they obviously want him and there will be competition for him.
It's a shame. I'd like to see Alex Mitchell given a run next season.
He's never really got in into because of Rowett. And I think Harris was there when he first signed, wasn't he? So
I don't know. Can't remember when he first signed now. But I just feel he'd be more suited to a back four rather than the Rowett way of the back three, which is probably the reason why Rowett let him go on. Especially getting a year under his belt with Lincoln, play first team football at men's football. Is only going to help him develop him as a player. A bit like a Coley. I know it's only at Bromley, but again, you're playing against men, adults. You're not playing kids anymore. That's going to really help him. So he's back in the fold again next season, potentially, the Coley. So we've got some youngsters coming through still,
Yeah, no, look, there's loads there. And obviously, it's already in the thingy that... is it Ofemi? Ofemi?
Obafemi?
Alafi, Isaac Alafi.
Yeah. Well, we let on loan to Sutton, who then went to, where's he gone to now? Like Stockport, I think.
Yeah,
he's doing well there, isn't he?
He's scoring goals, yeah.
There's a comment there from Tony. How much could Lincoln pay for him? Would be peanuts. Now, I get that the finances might not necessarily be huge, but if there's demand for a player, he's obviously stood out at Lincoln. They've obviously think highly of him. Other clubs in the division in League One would have seen that and gone, you know, that he looks quite good. A bit like what Millwall have done. When we've signed loan players, they've had successful spells at other clubs and then they've come to us on loan and then they've been bought by someone, Dan Ballard being the prime example, made his name in League One, then made his name in the Championship with us, Sunderland went and bought him.
Yeah.
Okay, it's cool, not the same. We're not talking about the same money, but that could happen with Mitchell. It really could. So I wouldn't be against it. And also, we're talking about being close to financial fair play. Alex Mitchell's a product of our academy. So if we were to sell him, even for a nominal 500,000, 750,000, because he's a homegrown player, that would work in our favour with the financial fair play. So I could understand why they would sell him. I really could.
Yeah. Oh, I do as well. I get that as well. Good evening, Stu. How are you well, mate? My friend in LA. So, yeah, wait.
Okay.
There you go. Just a quick one before we go on. In the chat, I'm going to post a link in the chat right about now, whether or not YouTube allow it or not, but I'm going to post a link in there. Spencer's already in it. It's basically something what we're testing during off season. And you can have it on your iPhone or you can have it on Android. It's a messaging service as such, but there will be a fair amount of content and there will be some freebie giveaways, which I'll be publishing over the weekend for the first 50 or 100 or so people would join up. So if you want to join up, do so. It's called Bunches. It's an American messaging service. And don't anyone message me and go, hang on, Championship's not on it. It is coming over the next few days. They started reaching out to Championship to see whether or not some of us would help push it. And we'll give it a go and see what's what. I don't know how it fully works and we'll test it. It's free. And that's it. Same as, you know, Recast. We joined Recast, but it was great. And then Mill just suddenly shot it in the foot by charging fortunes for the videos. We were charging 10 pence for videos and freebie ones because you got a load of free credits. And Mill just suddenly went, yep, £3 a video. And people went, what? And then they
didn't
destroyed
last
it.
Very long.
No, it didn't last long at all, mate. And then went pop. And then I got a fucking cheeky letter the other day saying, the money what you did get out of it, unfortunately, because it wasn't over a set limit, we can't actually pay you it. So thanks very much. We're closing the account and we're moving on because they went into administration and the new company who took it over just took everyone's money and went, there you go, thanks very much. So yeah. Lesson learned, mate. It weren't a lot, so yeah, I'm not going to cry over it, let's put it that way.
No, but they put that to like hundreds, if not thousands of other people, don't they? Well, I'm pretty sure they would have done.
Yeah, and then that would add up to a sum of money.
It's about 22 quid over the 2 years or whatever it was, so it's not massive. Because
times that by 1,000, that's like 220,000, isn't it? It's a lot of money.
But when they signed you up, they didn't tell you that you needed 65 quid. You needed to hit 65 quid before you get anything count. So, yeah. Who's going to Plymouth tomorrow then? If you are, get on that Bunches, mate, and we can have a conversation tomorrow, mate.
If you're going to Plymouth tomorrow, you're in for a bit of a shock, I think. You ain't watching Millwall if you're going to Plymouth.
Swansea.
Someone in the chat said it. Is it Mark? He's going.
Someone earlier in the chat about Plymouth said that when they were at Plymouth this season, Plymouth were basically calling us dirty northern bastards. And you're thinking... You know, my geography is bad.
Below Watford.
But yeah, if you're going to Swansea tomorrow, good luck and let us know what time you're leaving. Because I thought at Big E talking about 5. Well, just
early
think,
kickoff,
think you're
isn't it, tomorrow?
Yeah, early, you think you've got it bad. I think Hull's got Plymouth tomorrow, I think they've got.
And for a 12:30 kickoff as well.
They're leaving at 2 o'clock in the morning. Their coaches leave or they're getting picked up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. That's fair play.
It's gonna be a good 8 hours on the coach.
Do you know what though?
If not more, yeah.
Hull still can make the playoffs though, can't they? So their supporters will be absolutely bang up for that. They'll be bang up for that.
Can you imagine if they go all that way and they still don't get into the playoffs?
Oh, God.
They'll go all the way back up north again for another 9 out of 10 hours.
It could well happen. It could well happen, couldn't it? Jesus, you know,
Christ. Say that. Look. Plymouth, Kids West Ham kits, Mickey has Alzheimer's. I have something, mate. It's been putting up with this lot fucking on WhatsApp for the last
It's Friday.
Year. But look,
it's been a long week.
I think I've done a while, mate. I found some good talent, mate. I found Joe, I found Chris, I found Stephen, I found Omar.
Can I just say, I always say this, it's actually Joe's fault that I'm on this podcast because he was waffling so much crap after a game on a space. I was like, no, I'm not having that.
When do I ever talk crap? Come on.
Burnley away. It was Burnley away last season. Yeah. We got beat 2-0 and you laid into one of our players. I was like, no, I'm not having that. And then the rest of history.
Was it Vogelsammer by any chance?
Possibly. But it's your fault, mate. It's your fault that I'm here. So.
Do you know more people voted in a poll than they did press like while watching? So, yeah. Also, those of you who are on Twitter, watching on Twitter, and there's a fair few of you, you'll be pleased to know that there is a strong possibility, more than a strong, that Spaces will be coming back next season for you guys, so that and the reason it is that some of you like to be able to air what you want to say, some of you don't like coming on the streams, and next year these streams will be opened up, so those of you who want to get in, there will be ways of you being able to get on anonymously or whatever, so you can come on without your camera and have what you want to say. It will be a lot easier because the green room is going to be changed a bit. And then you'll be able to come on and we can have more people on. So next year we're aiming to do with messaging services and different things like that. We'll look at creating a mailing list so you'll have regular stuff. There'll be a big announcement soon regarding the website, where that's going next season, which I'm excited for. And I think the people who are going to be doing it are going to be great.
Player interviews as well coming up?
There'll be player interviews. We've got some players who are lining up, so we've got some player interviews and stuff. Gary Rowett has said he'll come on once the legal ramifications are over.
Yeah, if they get relegated, I can imagine he won't be on this show. He won't be doing many shows for a while. His podcast will go a bit quiet as well if they get relegated. He won't be.
He'll be off all socials for a long time. Yeah,
and it's the first time he's ever taken the club down, isn't it?
It could be. Yeah. It could be for anyone that's interested.
In his favour, though, isn't it? If they win, it's in his favour, isn't it?
Who are they?
Norwich.
Away at home.
No, they're at home. Birmingham are at home, but they have. They have to win. Birmingham have to win because Plymouth can lose and still not go down. So, Plymouth are at home to Hull. Hull got that journey, haven't they?
Of course, yeah.
So playing difficult teams. Yeah. It's not easy.
We've got a couple of new comments. What I'm just going to put up, Stephen. Yeah, because I've not seen these people comment before. So. You know the rules. So Louise Larch, I don't know. She said, can we talk about potentially signing Longman? Got to, in my opinion. There we go.
Great shout, Louise.
Let me know in the comments now, yes or no, would you want to sign Longman? You have about 2.5 minutes. Do it now.
Six weeks ago, I'd have said no chance.
You know what? I said it right from the off. As soon as I started seeing Longman play for us, I said straight away we should sign him.
Yeah.
Because he's all about Millwall. He works hard. He's at a good age. Yeah. He tracks back. You know, there is a bit of end product there as well with his crossing ability and his shooting.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad that he's really come to form in the last few weeks. And he wants to join us, doesn't he? In any videos he does, any interviews, he talks about how much he loves the fans, even at the end of season awards, guys, when they got him up for the best goal of the season.
Everyone is saying yes. Everyone. Peter Sullivan, Dan Riggs, Dan Riggs don't really know fuck all, but Mike Roberts, Alex S, Tony W, Chris Brown, He's even said yes. Big E, Big E's getting up at 5 in the morning, I think, to go to Swansea tomorrow. Michael
Fair
Dunn,
play, Big E.
Stu B. Yeah, Stu B. I don't really take what he says, isn't he?
Is he actually American or is he actually an English guy living in America?
No, he's an American guy. He's an English guy living in America.
All right, so he knows a bit about football then.
Yeah. He knows a lot about football. He watches our games every week.
Okay.
So, right. And plus his boy plays loads of sport, including soccer.
Soccer.
And other bits and pieces. So,
soccer. On the subject of Longman and us potentially signing him, do you think there'll be other clubs that would have been looking at him over the last couple of weeks and gone, do you know what? Because I think, again, 6 weeks ago, people would have just gone, absolutely not, no chance.
Spencer's got not interested. Good point.
Scoring goal of the season as well.
Makes Spencer said there, look, Longman playing for anyone else other than Harris, no chance. But now I think it's a no-brainer. Seems to love playing for Harris.
I agree, Spencer.
If you get on bunches, you can carry on the conversation when we stop, and we'll jump on as well. You know, Spence's in there, Big E's in there and stuff. So, yeah, jump in there.
And also, Spencer, to your comment just then, again, in the player of war, when he won the goal of the season, he went up on the microphone. He's quite young and he seemed quite sort of naive as he was talking, but he was very, very honest in what he was saying. And he's like a kid up there. And all he kept saying was, he sort of laughed as he said it. He said, I just love it here. I love it at Millwall. That's what he kept saying. And all the fans were clapping him. And he goes, I want to stay. Basically, he was more to say, I want to stay. But he didn't say the words, I want to stay. You can completely read what he was trying to say, you know?
He lives in LA, by the way, Tony.
West Coast, yeah?
Stu lives in LA. Very posh area of Los Angeles, but he lives in Los Angeles. When we got married, we went over there and he gave me a bottle of peanut butter whiskey.
Hey? Which is that more whiskey with a bit of peanut butter flavour? No, or it's peanut butter.
It's peanut butter whiskey.
Really? With whiskey?
It's in the freezer. Wow. It's unreal. It's weird. It's really weird, but it's great. The other question will come in from a new comment, just in case he's thinking, oh well, I don't know if Mike Roberts is new or not, but I'm going to say he's new now. Hi guys, I think Emaku is our best prospect. Pace, strength, grit, improve his heading, and we have our centre forward. Again, get a comment, yes or no.
Mike and Mickey, sorry to keep interrupting here, but again, I had such a great night the other night at the awards. And I imagine I speak to all the players or whatever. Sitting down with him, I was sitting here for a good 10, 15 minutes. Believe it or not, he doesn't see himself as a striker, Emaku. In fact, he would say he doesn't actually enjoy playing as a striker. His preferred position, he said, is left wing. Mm-hmm. When I asked him why, and he said, I don't like playing my back to goal. Mm-hmm. I like to play on the ball, actually facing like the play. And he said he quite enjoys plays on the left-hand side. So we all think he could be the answer to our striker problems, but it seems like the player doesn't want to play as a striker.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open them up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.